So first question, obviously, is about achievement first. And I'm doing a story for tomorrow's paper about there are a number of studies that have worried that charter schools, when they move into a urban district, can really remove resources from the district. I'm thinking of the recent one that about the Massachusetts referendum. So are you concerned at all that if Achievement First does expand to 3,000-odd kids, this is really going to put a crimp on per-pupil spending for the traditional district?
So I think this stemmed from the mayor's comment about these 1,000 seats.
Right.
I think an impact study was done mm-hmm. 3 years ago
mm-hmm.
That was pretty clear on what kind of impact would have on the city before anyone at RIDE approves any of those seats. That is done. And that this is an old conversation. This is from 2016. So we're really talking about 1,000 seats that were approved 3 years ago.
Right.
So there is a concern that they're going to expand, because I think what we've heard is this huge expansion, and really these are seats that were programmed 3 years ago, so it's part of the normal growth of a community.
But I think the concern is, even when they did some fiscal impact studies 3 years ago, the hit, and I don't have my story in front of me, apologies, but it was roughly a $35 million hit if Achievement First at that point expanded to 3,000 students. So I guess I'm just wondering, for due diligence, shouldn't RIDE conduct another fiscal impact statement?
Well, I think it's hard for us to do that right now because it was already done in 2016. I think what's important for us are two things. The first one, Linda, and I think you know that I've been pretty firm on this.
Yeah.
We have to give kids what's right. You know, I can't put dollars before kids.
Right.
And these charter school conversations always turn out to be about dollars.
Uh-huh.
And I have to think about where kids are going to get the best education. That's
right.
One.
Right.
Two, we're going to do a financial audit of the district of Providence.
Uh-huh.
Providence gets a pretty high per student capita.
Uh-huh.
But we don't know where all that money's going. So
right.
We have to do a full financial audit, and we intend to do that. So those things for me are in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
But right now I have to worry about the kids that are in front of us.
Right. So do you foresee other charters, either locally grown or charter management, also being part of the mix for the turnaround plan for Providence?
Absolutely. They have to be. But they're going to be a subset. That's not the answer. That's
right.
Not the answer. It's
right.
Not how we're going to fix schools, but they are
right.
Part of the toolkit of what needs to happen.
Right.
And in my vision of this,
right,
I think that it's more working together instead of having these different subsets.
Right.
It's really finding a way how they all work together to, one, share best practice on both ends, how we share the same kids, how we sometimes share the same communities and space. So I think we have to eliminate this conversation of them versus us, as opposed to this is what's right for the kids of Providence.
And on a separate front, lately there seems to have been this bubbling up of pushback against the way in which RIDE is handling the takeover. So there was a big discussion on Twitter last night and today from parent groups and youth groups saying, we've been invited to this meeting at the last minute, and it's not transparent. So do you feel now people are becoming entrenched in their ways or upset that they're about the way the takeover is going forward? Do you feel that, like, the kumbaya moment is over?
So a couple of things.
Yeah.
We have not taken over.
Yeah.
we're waiting.
Yeah.
To go through the legal process.
Right.
I think what happened was there was a miscommunication, because it's a series of sessions.
Right.
Today was the first of a series.
Uh-huh.
And that was not voiced. So that we own.
Yeah.
We should have put that out. And I've asked my staff to correct that.
Right.
So I think that was miscommunication on our part.
Right.
Because we are engaging different groups. So there was a group that reached out to us.
Right.
And that's who we engaged today, because they had reached out to us, and we were going to, we have a series of dates for them and other community members to come in, and that should be released And then there are going to be a series of meetings with me around what we learned from the Providence, not just from the report, but from the sessions. You know, you were there, many of them, and we heard safety, we heard the building, we heard instruction. So we're going to have working sessions with the community. So that is, we have those dates. So that is also going to be public. And we also, not just for Providence, but for the rest of the state. There's some things that came out of Providence that everybody can benefit from that we're going to have working sessions around. So I think that that's something that we should have communicated earlier, but is happening.
Okay.
And I think it's really exciting work. I think what happens is that because we're in this legal process, I think people worry about what's happening. And unfortunately, Linda, and I think you can attest to this.
Right.
I think the community has been let down for a very long time. That they're suspicious of anything that anyone does.
Sure.
And so I would hope that the Kumbaya moment isn't over. And I don't see it as, as that. See it as this sense of urgency of things having to change, and we're going to change it. And I think that there's a lot of mistrust, and they should really trust that everybody's trying to do the right thing at this point.
Sure.
And we are committed. I am committed to working with the community and everybody involved.
Okay. Pivoting slightly, I just took a quick glance today at the RICAST data for the charters in Providence, and with the exception of Achievement First, which almost approaches Barrington in proficiency, the other charters are really abysmal. We're talking single, you know, low teen digits for proficiency in Highlander, in Cuffy, in the Southside Charter. So to the mayor's point about closing a low-performing charter, my larger question is, and I know you're brand new, but here are all these low-performing charters. Do we need to start to hold them to account the way we're holding the traditional districts to account?
Yeah, I think this, I think what I would like everybody to know is that it's a totally different process. What he was talking about was bartering seats. We don't do that. Right? That's just doesn't make any sense. We're not doing that. So he's wrong about that. But what I do want to say is that when I'm looking at the landscape of all schools, charter and non-charter, it is about high quality. And if schools are not meeting the quality indicators, you know, they're going to have to do some work. I am not putting up with mediocre anything from anyone. So that includes charters as well.
Okay, so in specifically, I'm gonna push back just a little bit. Specifically, we now have we now know that from looking at the data, there are four or five right in Providence that are performing almost as poorly as the district. In one case, Trinity Performing Arts, which granted is small, very specialized, their performance was so bad that they couldn't even put it up on the chart because it would have identified individual kids. So, I mean, how do you feel like you need to move quickly on that front? I know you have a lot on your plate, but that seems pretty concerning.
Well, so I met with the League of Charters 2 weeks ago, and I, you know, I was pretty clear about my intentions. I was very, very, very clear in how they should support each other. I think everybody knows where I stand. I will move quickly, and I am going to identify the problems, and I'm bringing people in. These conversations are already happening. They have been happening.
So can we expect...
Your research is correct, and we have already identified the problem and started having conversations.
Okay. So can we expect activity with them in the near future?
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that a little?
Well, I think that they have been... They already know that they are where they stand with the state. And what they're expected to do, and if they can't do it, there will be very strict and tough interventions.
Wow. Hold on. My pen just ran out of ink because the journal buys cheap stuff. If that was great. If they can't do it, there will be, give that to me again, something interventions, tough and something interventions.
There will be strict and tough interventions.
Strict and tough.
And swift, right? Because it's
and
about
swift.
Kids.
Yep.
You know, I apply the same measure to everyone.
Okay. Final question, because I know you're on your way to another meeting. How do you feel about the condition of the Providence schools, the physical plant, now that we're 2 weeks away from school opening?
Well, Linda, I wish I could say I feel good about it.
Yeah.
We have met with Aramark. We've met with Gilbane.
Yeah.
We've met with the pest control, with the mayor.
Right.
Aramark gave us a letter that I can send you a copy of.
Yep.
Of what they have said that they will do to go above and beyond.
Oh, great.
To be honest with you,
yeah.
I don't trust anyone's word.
Yeah.
So we are going out. We started yesterday visiting every single Providence school, and we will be able to talk about what we found publicly.
Oh, that's
so
great.
We will be public with that.
Wow.
I have to say that I'm already disappointed with what we found yesterday.
Really? Why are you disappointed?
I don't want to get too much into the details, Linda,
yeah.
but it's not up to my standards.
Right. Wow. And when do you expect a public report on that?
So hopefully in the next week, by next week, I think.
Wow.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
If we get to all the schools, because
right.
we're spending more time in different schools than we thought because of the conditions of what we found.
Wow.
So.
And can you share any of that at this point?
Well, I think that the schools are not as clean as we expected them to be.
Right.
The physical shape of some schools are worse than people have reported.
Right.
So I think, you know, the conversations are going to be very difficult.
Right.
As we move forward.
Right.
I am not hiding anything.
Yep.
I believe in transparency. So that's why, you know, I feel bad that anyone thought that we were inviting them last minute, because that's just not how I operate.
Right.
But I will make it very clear because, you know, between you and I, it's been very disappointing.
Wow. The response to getting the schools ready, you mean?
Yeah. And that's not, you know, once again, it's not under our purview.
Right.
So that's why when you said the takeover, we have not taken over.
Right.
And I need people to be very clear on that.
Right,
that
right, right. I think sometimes we reporters forget. Right. You're still in the process.
Yeah, we don't have authority yet.
Yeah.
So we are trying to do what we can from the outside.
And you will have authority roughly when? When does that 30-day period when everybody weighs in ends?
Well, I think September 13th is when, you know, the four parties can show cause. And then there's another 30 days after that.
Oh, okay.
So we're really talking about middle of October.
Okay.
So I think that we need to make that very clear to the community.
Yep.
But in the meantime, Linda,
right.
work is getting done.
Yeah.
You heard, you know, how kids are using the cell phone to bully each other.
Right.
So we're requiring all schools to have a cell phone policy.
Yep.
Safety is an issue. We're creating these safety zones.
Right.
So all work is happening
right.
that we can do under our purview.
Right.
And we're bringing it. Community.
Yeah.
And I'd invite you to come to some of the working groups so you
I would love to.
I'll send you the dates so you
okay.
can have them so you can see the multiple dates that people can come to and see. I think that that's important.
That sounds great.